Why don't you open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue our study through this letter to the Hebrews. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, that we thank you that we weren't born to go about this life blindly. Lord, that we weren't left to ourselves because, Lord, there is no hope in this world other than you. And Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to us through your word, Lord, that maybe this morning this mystery of faith will be settled for each and every one of us. So we pray that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. Lord, with much expectation, we pray that you would fill this place with your presence, with your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. You know, the mystery of faith, and we're going to probably scratch the surface, and we have come through this, obviously, letter to the Hebrews, and they were struggling. They were struggling with this belief, you know, they're following Jesus. They had come out of this deep-seated, traditional, ritualistic, religious system, Judaism, everything centered on the temple, temple worship, the sacrifices that were brought in, and now they're following Jesus. They're not connected to a building or a group or the group that per se that they had been used to being around. And now they're a part of really an outcast group that was maligned, that was being persecuted. They had their livelihoods taken away from them and things were getting tough. And they were starting to wonder if maybe they made a mistake. Do they really believe these things? And this letter is written in encouragement that they made the right choice and to strengthen them in that decision that they had made. And so we see that a lot of it deals with the superiority of Jesus Christ over the system that they had come out of, because what they had been raised in as a religious system was really pointing to the one that they were now following, Jesus Christ. He was the great high priest. He was superior to Moses, angels. Anything that they had believed in or understood through their religion, and now are being schooled in the fact that this is the point that they were to come to because of what they were raised in. The understanding of the scriptures, how Jesus basically brought to light all of the truths. In the Old Testament, God speaking said, the volume of the book is written of me. And Jesus, it's written about Jesus Christ. And so they had made the right decision, and now they're being encouraged to stay in the right, in that right following of Christ. And so we come to chapter 11. Many call it the Hall of Faith, the Hero's Hall of Faith. And we're going to not get into each of probably the characters or the Old Testament fathers, the elders, we're going to see is another term used for it. But understand that the writer will go over pre-diluvian, which is those who walked with God by faith prior to the flood, those who walked with God by faith after the flood, but prior to Christ coming, and then all of those who walked by faith and suffered for the name of Christ after Christ came. That it was always by faith. Always. It wasn't about, it had nothing to do with the sacrifices, those things that were observed in the temple. The purpose of those was to build the faith of those who lived before Christ, that God's promises of a Messiah and salvation were true. And that's The substance of faith. We're going to talk about the substance of faith. To many, a mystery. Some of you may be here struggling with faith. Some maybe, hopefully not, considering denying their faith or walking away from their faith. What is faith? What is real faith? And verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That doesn't help a whole lot, does it? Can one, you know, is there such a thing as blind faith? Can one really take a leap of faith? We hear all of these terms thrown around. Can faith be measured? Do you have enough faith? Do you ever question yourself? I know this. We often judge whether somebody else is in the faith. The worst state a person can be in is the state of unbelief. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. God has no remedy for unbelief. Do you realize that? It is the only unpardonable sin to remain in unbelief. Every other sin God has a solution for. And the only way man can have his sin pardoned is by faith. Man has tried to measure faith or define faith as a belief in something. It's only a speculative faith. It's really not faith at all. Because the sureness of faith depends on the faithfulness of what it's put in or the object of that faith. And I'm going to tell you something. The world is putting its faith in a lot of things that are failing. Some believe faith is defined by following a religious system. There's the Muslim faith, the Jewish faith, the Hindu faith, the Buddhist faith. Today we see a lot of faith put in science and technology, artificial intelligence. You know, evolution is nothing more than a secular religious faith. And faith in technology, and many are losing hope in that faith today. It only constantly and consistently disproves itself. They keep trying to prove it, yet it only brings about further speculation. And it's not faith at all, it's futility. Faith is not based on what man can explain or recreate. There is no chance or gamble related to faith, whether it's going to work out or not. Have you ever said you had faith or were trusting in something that you weren't too sure it was going to work out or not? There's a big movement today of secular humanism disguised as interfaith movement. That somehow faith can be defined by human reason and acceptance of all beliefs, what everybody believes is faith. You could say secular humanism is a religion of mutual understanding, harmonious coexistence, and peace among people of faith and goodwill. Clinton, do you happen to have that picture? I forgot to tell you. From Wednesday, I want to share this with you. Because this is where the world is heading. This is what they consider faith. But I want you to see this because it's important. What's that? Well, yeah, I know. Abrahamic family house. Somebody play the Jeopardy tune. But I'll read this as he's putting it up. It's a mutual understanding, harmonious coexistence, and peace among people of faith and goodwill. And it's the culmination of false religion, cults, and isms. It's nothing more than religious Babylon that is coming. Many of you may not have heard of this, but in 2022, this is expected to be open. It is a mosque, a synagogue, and a church that have all been built in Abu Dhabi. called Abrahamic family house. It's Bono religion. You know Bono. It's in Bono's thing, and I remember when he came out with it at a concert, Islam, Judaism, Jesus, all the same. And the world is going to accept this faith. Everybody believes in something. And a great percentage of the world's population are putting their faith or their trust, however they want to put it, in science today. It's the mantra of the world, believe the science, that somehow man is mastering the mysteries of existence. You know, we've messed with the atom. And although it has some benefits to society, energy, right? Atomic power, it remains in all aspects a danger to human existence. Man is now messing with subcellular experimentation, mRNA research, and what they've developed is not natural. It's only synthetic. It is a counterfeit recreation or recreation of God's creation. It's not safe, and it's not proving to be effective. And professing to be wise, they've become fools. Masters of their own destiny, fully rejecting God, thinking that they can play God or play one over on God. Believe the science when many of them don't believe it themselves. And I just want to share this with you because recently a couple from here they contracted coronavirus. They found out that they were positive, called their doctor. They were fortunate to have a doctor who did not get the jab, yet worked in an office with partners that all got the jab and did nothing but persecute her and give her a hard time. And fortunately for our brother and sister, they were able to get a prescription from her for ivermectin, which helped. But the interesting thing is, she confided in them that her partners, who have given her a hard time about not getting the jab and have tried to pressure her into doing so, all got sick with coronavirus, and a couple of them had to go to her for a prescription for ivermectin because they knew that that would help where what they claimed they've put their trust in did not. That they'll probably still champion, believe the science, and instruct everybody to get the jab. The false faith of men is failing, Christian, to offer hope to this world. The false religions of man are not a source of faith at all. Faith is not belief in something, true faith. It is trusting God that alone defines what true faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word for substance is a scientific term. It's hypostasis. It's a setting under, a concrete support. Now, science, you know, I know it's deeper than this. Science is theory proven by experimentation, the result of which is hypostasis. It is the substance that is left over from the experiment. Does that make sense, I guess? It's the end result. And that is then to be peer-reviewed for its legitimacy. That's how science works. Faith is the substance of hope, or the foundation of hope. It is the opposite of hypothesis or theory. Faith is proven by fact and truth. We often joke around amongst the guys here, you know, don't confuse my truth with facts. And that's kind of the way the world's operating today. And what are the facts of faith? The facts of faith is the Word of God. You see, in the beginning, God created. He created from nothing, bara. And faith cannot be measured in a laboratory. It cannot be achieved by human reason. Faith is not physical, it is spiritual. Man was created in God's image. That is spirit, soul, and body. But that got turned upside down when man chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When sin entered in, and because of sin, man is now led by the flesh. Faith and only faith can set things in proper order again. The occasions of Jesus acknowledging faith were not based on what the person was doing, but simply that they believed God. Do you understand that? They believed Jesus could do what he claimed to be able to do. The centurion, the mother whose daughter was demon-possessed, they simply believed God. And what did Jesus say? It was great faith. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. That is faith's foundation, which is the substance of hope. And then it says it's the evidence of things not seen. When you have the substance or evidence right in front of you, there's no need for faith. You realize that? Evidence here is a legal term. It's evidence that is accepted for conviction. It's what's taken into the court to prove one's case. God's Word is God's evidence that His promises are true. Faith is the vehicle, so to speak, by which we trust God and trust His Word. You can believe God and you can believe His Word, or you cannot believe. But true faith, according to God, can only be trusting Him. That salvation, our eternal hope, is by God's grace through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's not by any of our works, lest any of us boast about it. As we go through, we're going to see by faith, by faith, by faith. And then the things that they were able to do. But God isn't going to acknowledge what they did. He's going to acknowledge the faith that allowed them to do those things. And so verse 2, for it by the elders obtained a good testimony. None of the examples we're given in chapter 11 were perfect people. And I hate to burst your bubble, neither am I. When I grew up, Pastor Ray, Presbyterian Church, you know, and I don't know how many of the rest of you grew up this way thinking that the pastor, they had to be perfect, right? And we're finding out more and more just how imperfect the pastorate is these days. But that's not why God accepted them, because they were perfect. It was not their works that set them apart. Their examples of godliness, of being true followers of God, were all under different circumstances. God found them in different places. But their testimonies all had one thing in common. And none of it was based on how great they were. What was the one thing in common? It was faith. Before the flood, after the flood, after Jesus, it was always by faith. We've seen that even as the sacrifices were brought into the temple, you know, in a number of times in the Old Testament, David in the Psalms, the prophets all said, it's not, you know, sacrifice is not what you desire, but obedience. God was always looking at the heart of the worshiper, not what the worshiper was bringing in. The Hebrew believers were discouraged. They were thinking of giving up on being Christians, of following Jesus, of being a part of that distinct group that believed God by trusting in Jesus Christ. So the writer of Hebrews encourages them, to continue in their faith. And he'll do it by giving examples of what God had recognized in the lives of those men, the father, the, you know, they either called the fathers, the elders, it's going to be called here. Encouraging them to continue. Do not be discouraged, because they were actually following the examples of these pillars of faith, the elders or the faith fathers that went before them. You know, there's a, Jesus said a peculiar thing when he was walking with the disciples and teaching. He said, Abraham, and he told the scribes and the Pharisees, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. How is that possible other than by faith? By faith, it says, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Very interesting. Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now here is a test of faith. Do you believe that? He gathers the water of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. You know, the greatest challenge to faith begins right at the very first verse of the Word of God. In the beginning, God created. And if you haven't accepted that, you won't accept the rest. And the writer of Hebrews is not suggesting by worlds that there's intelligent life on Mars or out there to be discovered. The word for worlds there is ages. That the ages or existence itself, all these things were made by the Word. God spoke it into existence. Now, Bill Nye, the science guy, I think Elon Musk, who's the English dude, Branson? They're all headed to Mars. Convinced that's the next frontier. Which will only prove intelligent life still does not exist on Mars. Once they get there. But God spoke creation into existence. Even the scientists of Jesus' day speculated that matter had to exist for God to be able to create all things. Even though the scriptures clearly state all of what we see was not of visible things. How are you with that this morning? Can you accept that? Because if you can't, how do you have a God big enough to worship? We did not witness God's work of creation. Only by faith can we know it's true. In fact, the only reasonable explanation for what we know about this world is that it's created by an intelligent design. You see, order cannot come out of chaos. That is one of those scientific, what's it called? Yeah, law of thermodynamics. It's all fancy stuff. But evolution is trying to prove that it does. It can, even though they admit it can't. You see, faith is not restricted by human understanding. It's trusting God's explanation of creation and his plan of redemption and accepting that it is reasonable. It's accepting that it's reasonable. You know, he doesn't come with fancy equations, with deep theological thoughts and understandings. And, you know, Confucius say, what does he say? Come, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. It's not restricted by human understanding. It's trusting God. Consider the fact that God expected Abraham to believe Sarah's womb could bear a child. It says that her dead womb, Sarah laughed. Yet Abraham believed God, who created life in the womb, that God would fulfill his promise that he would have a son and that his descendants would be as the sand of the sea. He just simply believed that God created and was able to do that also. Unreasonable to human understanding, but it's not unreasonable to faith. You see, it's by faith that we can understand all of these things. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14, Paul says this, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin." You see, faith, true faith, is supernatural understanding and divine knowledge. It's the illumination. He's drawn us out of darkness into his light, and it's the illumination of God's truth into one's life so that one can believe. 1 Peter 2:9, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people." You know, I think one of the translations, peculiar, which certainly applies to some of you. Or special is fine. "That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light," his marvelous light, the understanding, divine understanding of him, of his son. And when you look at the scriptures and what God has provided for us, he made it very easy. God's word is the revelation of God. It was written by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit. It was inspired, or it was given to us by inspiration. So the Word of God is revelation. The Word of God is inspired, or inspiration. Jesus Christ himself is the illumination of the Word of God. Faith is substance and evidence, revelation, inspiration, and illumination. And it's by faith we understand. Verse 4, it says, "By faith Abel offered." Verse 5, "By faith Enoch was taken away." Verse 7, "By faith Noah obeyed." And it leads me to wonder if it is not a work of my own. Is it my faith? It's by faith that substance is substance and evidence, then it's only by faith that anyone has faith. If it's by faith that there's substance and evidence, then it's only by faith that anyone has faith at all. Romans 12:3, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than we ought to think." And I wanted to skip over that real quick, because that's a indictment on most of our society today, Fauci. "But to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." That measure is limited, a limited portion, a degree. It really means the exact right amount. I've heard people, what does a measure of faith mean? Does he give more? Does he jip? God's not a jipper. He gives the exact right amount of faith to each and every one of us so that we might believe. 2 Corinthians 10:15, not boasting of things beyond measure that is in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, as your faith grows, so faith can grow. Faith is an active thing. It's not a label that is put upon believers and becomes benign. It is an action. The whole book, I said this, and we're going to go into James. I'm convinced we're doing James after Hebrews, because James is about the activity of faith in the life of a believer. As your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come to the unity of the faith, all the same. Not religions, but all the same faith. And that means singularity in Jesus Christ. That's the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it's not religions, Islam, Judaism, Jesus, all the same, but that those who truly have put their faith in Jesus Christ, that we walk as one all the same. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. He had, the understanding here as I'm reading that is that Paul said, I held on to that which was given to me. I kept the faith. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Faith isn't a mystery, Christian, when we understand who it belongs to. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Not only is it given that one might believe, but it's also given as we walk with the Lord, so that we might supernaturally, you know, that gift of faith. Have you ever had that unction, the leading of the Spirit, to go lay hands on, pray up for somebody? But in your mind, you're going, oh no, I can't do that, you know. I'm not worthy. I don't have the power. But that given that faith to go and just believe that that's what the Lord would have you to do. Believe that God wants to move and do something. That's the manifestation of the Spirit to give faith. And I often am approached by people who are questioning their faith or struggling with faith. We hear more and more of men and women renouncing their faith or walking away from the faith. And often it's to pursue other faiths, they say, or that they're open-minded or open to other beliefs and understandings. They were never of the faith. And let's each ask the big question this morning. Whose faith is it anyway? You ever thought about that? And it might be the reason you're struggling with it is because you think it's yours. And don't realize that it's His. That He gives us so that we might have divine understanding, supernatural knowledge of who He is and what He's done for us. Please don't go down the path of the isms that have all tried to explain it. And if you're wrestling with faith or questioning your faith, if that is you, may I suggest that you just give up and stop trying to hold on to your faith and accept what God wants to do and give to you. You see, it's by faith, through faith, given faith, kept faith, that the grace of God brings light to a darkened heart. And it says then, examine yourself and see if you're even in the faith. In the faith. Not if you've got it. Because that wasn't the prerequisite of any of those who God is going to bring out and to the forefront in the hall of faith. They didn't bring it. They didn't score a lot of points in college. Abraham, Abraham went and lied in Egypt because his wife was beautiful and thought that he'd get beat up because somebody would want his wife. I mean, they all messed up. It simply says by faith that they were able to do these things. That they believed God. Faith is the substance and evidence of hope. And if you want to believe God, He offers the faith to believe. Think about the Word of God, because there's a lot of people that are bailing out on the truths of the Scriptures. They don't believe that God Himself left the glory of heaven to be born of a virgin, to suffer and face every temptation that we face, to ultimately offer Himself on a cross on behalf of, to do the will of the Father. A lot of people don't believe that. They don't believe in substitutionary atonement. There are men standing in pulpits that would say, Jesus didn't need to die for me. They do. They don't believe that God created from nothing. And you really need to... I would challenge you, if you believe that you can accept the truth of God's creation from nothing and evolution together, please, please pray and ask the Lord whether or not that's even possible. To believe that God was able to give Sarah a son, all of the things in the Scriptures, what do you believe those things? It's imperative. It's not some willy-nilly leap of faith that God is asking you to take. Because what the writer of Hebrews says is faith has a foundation, and it's the Word of God, Jesus Christ. You see, that's faith. When we get into chapter 12, he's going to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you realize Jesus needed to die for you? Next week, we're going to get to this, but I want to finish with this. Without faith, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Do you have anything to offer or bring to Him? Even faith. It's impossible. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And guess what? If you go with that pure heart, God acknowledges it. He recognizes true faith and He rewards it by redeeming what His Son paid for on the cross at Calvary. And then, yes, the walk with Christ at times, we can get inside of our own head. And it can be challenging, and we can question things. But don't question your faith. Accept that God has given you faith to know Him and to walk with Him. And my hope for all of us is that in this walk, we can end like Paul, I have run, I've finished the race. What was it? Let me go back because I have it written down right here. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept, Lord, the gift that you have given me to know you. Amazing.